I would like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. And if you'll hold your place there in John chapter 17, we're going to read just the closing part of this high priestly prayer. And then if you'll have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we want to illustrate what our Lord is praying for, I believe, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, if you'll have your Bible open in both places there. May I say before I begin reading from the Word of God, when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as I've said before, I'm going to read the word love from the word charity. And I'll remind you of that in just a moment. In John chapter 17, when we come to the close of this high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ, he prays in verses 25 and 26, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And from that particular passage, I spoke to you on the question, do you have the love of God in your heart? Do you have the love of God in your heart? Now, it's nearly impossible to think that we can define the love of God. But we can illustrate it, and we can see it demonstrated in our lives as we have His love shed abroad to others from our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. But this is what He prayed for. I want to be an answer to that prayer. I want to live the life that God has designed me to live as a Christian. There are things that I want to be deliberate about working on in my life and to be as conscientious about it as is possible. Mr. Moody said, my human best filled with God's Spirit. I don't know if any of us would say it exactly that way, but we all know exactly what he meant. That he wanted to do his best, but it entirely dependent upon the Lord to do what only God could do. And I'm not going to try to convince you that I have the love of God, but if I have the love of God, you should be able to see it demonstrated in my life. That's what we find in Scripture. Remember that the Lord Jesus said of his disciples in chapter 13 and verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. If you'd like to mark or make note of this verse over the book of 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That he who loveth God loveth his brother also. And so it's hypocritical of us to say we truly love God and not love others. And if we love others, they ought to see that love demonstrated in our lives. We're going to take the love test in just a moment. Hope you're ready for it. I can tell you, most of us are going to fail it. And when we fail it, we need to go back to class. And the class is the Lord Jesus teaching us to show His love. No doubt about it. In the book of Colossians, Paul wrote to these people and said in verses 3 and 4, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. That's what our Lord prayed for. Do you have the love of God in your heart? Do I have the love of God in my heart? We need to ask, do we have the love of God in this church? When people come to visit us, they say all kinds of things. Imagine they would go from A to Z on what they think about what they find here in this church. But the thing that I want them to find is I want them to find the love of God. And all that that love demonstrates in the life of God's people. No doubt about it. If you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we say love is displayed or love is demonstrated in what we find here. This wonderful chapter is worth memorizing. Of course, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. But among the chapters in the Bible you commit to memory, this certainly ought to be one of them. I say we will use the word love as we read it. Charity for most people would say that there is a charitable institution. That's what people think of when we say this is charity, this is a charity, or some act of giving. And so allow me, please, I'm not trying to change the Bible. I love the authorized King James Version of the Bible. I would use nothing in the English-speaking world to preach from or teach from or to memorize, but the authorized version is King James Version of the Bible. But I want to read it this way, and I hope it will help us in our understanding. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression in the 8th verse of this 13th chapter. Love never faileth. Or as you have given here, charity never faileth. Love never faileth. What we have here is a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our desire should be a desire to be like Him. If I started out as a young minister and someone said to me, "What do you hope to accomplish in the ministry?" I would say to them, "I know God has called me to be a preacher and has led me to be a pastor. And so I'm going to be the shepherd of a flock, an assembly of baptized believers who voluntarily join themselves together to carry out the Great Commission." And what do you hope, they may say, what do you hope to see in that local assembly? Something with great size, some missionary endeavor, some staff that's competent, compassionate. And I think after all these years, I would say, I would hope that we would be like Jesus. And that when people come to worship, they would sense the real presence of God. And when we minister from that assembly and through that assembly, we would demonstrate the true love of Christ to all people. Now, if that happened, then what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 would be taking place. I want to warn you before we take a look at this, that when we see it, we must look at ourselves. And we must understand that everything we do should be encompassed by this love of Christ. That God's love, as Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 in the last two verses, that God's love would be in us. Just for review, let's look back at that 17th chapter before we begin. I just want you to see those verses again in this prayer. In John chapter 17, as our Lord concludes what we have written here in this prayer, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. How applicable that is to our world still to this day. The world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And how applicable that is to our lives as believers. We know that God sent His Son. And now, He says, and I have declared unto them Thy name. And we'll declare it. That the love wherewith Thou hast loved me. That's God the Father's love for God the Son. That the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them. The true love of God, which is of divine origin, which is a spiritual work, which is shed abroad by the Holy Spirit of God in us as we yield ourselves to Him. This love, not the love that we read about in portions of Scripture that is sensual, lustful, not the love that we read about in Scripture that is affectionate or friendly in relation, impulsive, brotherly love, but the love of our will committed, given to God, yielded as the covenant love God speaks of, that we actually have God in us and His love is in us, and we give that love, share that love, spread abroad that love, in the words of Scripture, to others. Now, if we don't have it, we need to admit it and ask God to help us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, would you? At your leisure, when you read this, read the 12th chapter and read the 14th chapter, because this is divinely placed, I believe, here, for our benefit and our understanding. For time's sake, I begin with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, let's imagine that I had the tongues of men and of angels. That I could speak like no one you ever heard speak about the things of God. The tongue of men and angels. God's Word says that my speaking is worthless. And worse than that, it is dangerous if I do not have the love of God. And there are many people who can speak as if they had the tongues of men and angels, but they have not the love of God. And they are dangerous men. They're more dangerous than some incapable person as far as speaking skills are concerned, who has the love of God. He writes, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Think about it. He says you could remove mountains. There are some people who remove mountains just to pick them up and put them in other people's way. Let's imagine you had the faith to move mountains. And God says, but if you don't have His love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, think of that, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Imagine a religious zealot who goes so far as to say, I've got convictions. I've got real convictions. I know what I believe and where I stand and what I'm going to preach and what I'll die for. And they actually die for it. And they give their body to be burned. And God says, you can go that far with it. But if you don't have love, your motive is all wrong. And it profiteth nothing. Not a little. Nothing. And I've lived long enough and served in the Lord's work long enough in far-reaching places to have seen people who stand up on their tippy toes and talk about what they believe, but are destructive with their voices, and have such zeal, they act as if they're willing to die for what they believe. But they don't love people because they don't have the love of God in them to love people. And it profits nothing. I don't think we could talk about a more serious matter than this. No wonder Jesus prayed this way. And now notice, as we come to the fourth verse, He gives us this wonderful list. Let's see if we can patiently go through it as quickly as possible. And I want you to write it down. Because this is where we examine the portrait of Christ, where we see our Lord in action. And we have to ask of ourselves, we may think, well, I'm a caring person. I'm a loving person. I'm a person who really has love in my heart. But if these things are not characteristic of our Christian behavior, then the lack of these things is the evidence that we do not have the love of God. And may I say to you, as I've studied and prayed over this, just in this message for weeks, that I've been convicted, deeply convicted, that I do not have the love of God as I should have the love of God. And I'm not going to just say without thought to you that if I don't have it, I doubt if any of you have it, because some of you may love God more deeply than I do. But I will say to you that all of us need to be honest about it. Would you agree? All right, let's look at it. Basically, this is the message I want to give you. Love suffereth long. It's patient. It suffereth long. Notice, if you don't have that, you say, I'm not patient with anybody. I want it done now, and I want it done for me, and I want it done the way I want it done. But love suffereth long. Love is kind. That's the second thing here in this verse 4. Love is kind. Is the law of kindness in our tongue? Are we kind people? Do we greet people with kindness? Is that kindness demonstrated? The Bible goes on to say, not only is love kind, love envieth not. And the reason it does not envy is because it's content. It envieth not. If you and I are busying ourselves talking about what other people have and other people do, and we are desirous of what they have and what they have the opportunity to do, if it occupies a good bit of our time and our thinking, then by the demonstration of the lack of contentment, God says godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain because you can't add anything to it, you know. It's a precious treasure, but it's a demonstration that we have the love of God. Notice also, the Bible says, love vaunteth not itself. It vaunteth not itself. It has no parades. It doesn't want to be on display. If I meet people and I want them to know how large our church is, or what great day we just had, or what wonderful victories we've seen, or how many people have responded to some message I've given. If the chief thing on my mind is for people to know what an excellent job I've done, or we've done, or what we're up to, then we're missing the love of God. I talked to someone the other day who was in the ministry, and this particular pastor could not wait to tell me all the numerical things that were going on. I'm not going to sit in judgment over the man. I really am not, because it's his life and he must answer to God. But I've heard so much of that. I've heard so much of that. And the tragedy of it is that people think they're pleasing God by being able to quote all those numerical victories. But if it's being vaunted, paraded around, then it's not just the parade that's on that we have to watch and listen to. It's the evidence in giving that parade, whether I'm giving it or you're giving it, that we don't have the love of God. It vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Think of that. It's approachable. It's not puffed up. It's not self-serving. And some people live as if the world revolves around them, and honestly, they let things slip through their lips that come from their hearts that give evidence that they sort of expect people to know that they're important. But the Bible teaches us that love is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly. Now think of that. It does not behave itself unseemly. That means it's orderly. It's in control. And God works on my heart with that. He goes on to say, it doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. It's not what I could get out of it. It makes no demands. It doesn't run around talking about how great I am and what I expect out of you. How lucky you are to have me. What I've accomplished. Some of you are telling on yourselves. And you're very unlovely. Unlovely. And I'm telling on myself when I behave that way. Is not easily provoked. Oh, that's convicting to me. Bosses want their way. Leaders want their way. Shepherds want their way. There's nothing wrong with knowing God's given you this direction and we must follow this direction. But working with people who stubbornly resist and loving those people to help them seek God to get the direction, that's another matter. It's not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Now think of that. Thinketh no evil. And I listen to people. And when you hear about something, well, I'll tell you what I really think is going on there. And we presume. We presume this is the real reason it's going on. What you're declaring, beloved, what I'm declaring when we speak like that is that we do not have the love of God. The Lord goes on to elaborate on that very thought. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. I picked up the phone one day and a pastor called me to tell me about a preacher's son long, long ago. A very famous preacher's son who had wrecked his life. And the man who called me delighted in telling me the news. He delighted in it. He was happy to hear of the downfall of the young man. Now, I'm not saying that I'm a good Christian, because I ought to be much better than I am, and I'm not saying that I always have the love of God in every area. But my reaction to that phone call was evidence of my heart. And when I hung up the phone, I wept for the man. And I wrote him and said I'd pray for him. Now, I haven't always felt that way, because this man was no rival to me. This man was no rival to anything I did in the ministry. This man was no threat to me. It was easy for me to respond with a broken heart. Easier. But what about someone who's extremely critical of me or the ministry God's given me? My heart should be broken the same way. Oh, may God help me. May God help me. Not to rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. The thing that excites me is the truth. Rejoice in the truth. You see, we have a world that exists in media on bad news. I have this sneaking suspicion that many people feed on news services and the bad things that are said about political candidates they don't like. They feed on it. It's as though we're happy to find that the president has made another mistake if we don't like him. Or we're happy to find that someone's been investigated for something if we don't agree with their politics. It's not a political thing. We ought to rejoice in the truth. I'm not talking about not getting the truth out of things. I'm glad when people discover the truth. But I'm talking about the things that make us happy. We ought not be on a search all our life long for the dirt in life. And may God help us. It beareth all things. I would like to say there, it puts up with everything. Beareth all things. People say, and I hear them, and I've said it myself, I'll tell you, there's some things I'm not going to put up with. What are they? If you say there's some things I'm not going to put up with, and I'm not talking about immorality and a personal matter with someone you love, I'm talking about something you just don't like about people, or I don't like about people. Wherever we say we're not going to put up with it, that's where we stop with the love of God. Even the Lord Jesus said, He cautioned us about loving those who love us and not loving our enemies. And just returning love to those who've given us love. See, honestly, people, I love you and I really do love you and I try to love you more and I pray for you and I hope you're praying for me and believe you are praying for me. But I think we think more highly of ourselves in this thing of Christian love than we really have arrived at. We've given ourselves better grades than we should have gotten on the love of God. It's like the young people who took the test with other nations about math and science, and the American students who were tested in math and science with other leading nations in the world graded themselves on top. When the grades came in, they thought they would be in the top. They were 17th among nations in math and science. And sometimes we get an idea about a church like this, you know. Well, I'll tell you one thing we do around here, we really love people, do we? If we do, it will be demonstrated in these things, bearing all things, believing all things. What does it mean to believe all things? That doesn't mean we're blind to evil or blind to sin. But we remain hopeful. We remain hopeful. And remain hopeful. We're the last to cave in on somebody. We hold out and hold out and hold out, thinking it's going to be right, not wrong. You've seen people, and I have too. And you've known people, and I have too. For the first people to believe the bad news. There's something suspicious about that kind of Christianity. Bearing all things, believing all things, hopeth all things. Christians should be hopeful people. Now, these all have to do with love. Endureth all things. It endures. He's still with me. You say, she's still with me. Doesn't mean you trample over people and take advantage of people. But when others are taking some advantage of you, you're still there to help them, to encourage them, and to pray for them, and to love them, and to stand by them. You see, God gives grace to Christians that you don't get anywhere else except from God. And He gives it to His children. And so, this is what He says. And then He declares in verse 8, love never faileth. There ought to be some people you can count on in the most broken moment of your life. They'll be there to pick you up. You'll see their hand reached out to help you up. You could not see them or hear from them weeks, months. But you know. You know they're there for you. Oh, may God help us. Love never fails. Whether there be prophets, prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The love of God helps us to put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith. May I read it this way? And now abideth hope. And now abideth love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Let us seek the greatest of these. Would you pray with me? How'd you do on the test? I failed it. I've asked God to help me. Being a pastor doesn't mean you pass it. Being a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a Christian worker doesn't mean you passed it. Only Jesus can help you pass it. Consider Him. This portrait of Him. Has He stayed with us? Has He? Yes, He has, hasn't He? I used to hear Brother Roloff, Lester Roloff. Some of you don't even know the name now. But I used to hear him say, I want to be the last person to give up on people. I like that expression, don't you? He even said, if one of my young people dies, I hear they're dead, I'm going to wait 3 days and then pray the fourth day Because Jesus raised one from the dead after 4 days. He was a character. With this idea, I'm going to be the last one to give up. You know, it's been awfully difficult through this journey to hear people say, I'm with you, and then be the first to leave you. Or I love your children, but be the first to criticize. And the real test is not with those people. It's with me then. If they prove they don't have the love of God, can I still have it? How many of you have ever been betrayed or disappointed by someone you expected had the love of God and they proved they didn't have it by their behavior? Would you be honest enough to raise your hand, hold it high? Well, then you have to be tested if you have it toward them. Can we be justified treating people the way they treat us? The answer is no. Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus that we ought to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That puts it to the test, doesn't it? Love never faileth.